Hi, Dan.
Hi, Jason.
We're back.
Indeed.
I'm back.
Can't keep us away with a stick.
We didn't do one last week. I was in Arizona last week. I was all discombobulated. I visited my mom in Arizona, and I did bring my podcasting equipment, and I totally could have done it because I did clockwise from down there and upgrade, I just was not thinking properly. I think it was the dry air. It just messed me up, so we didn't do one last week.
That's fine.
And here it is. It's February.
Okay. I know, and February will be gone before we know it, which is just as well, because February is it's a quiet month.
Well, one of the things that we have to do is we got to get working on the February issue of the Six Colors magazine. So I
indeed.
I got to send you a... We do all that in Google Docs, basically, all that organization. I do all my kind of shared document stuff in Google Docs at this point.
Same here. Yeah, there really isn't a good alternative.
Well, there are alternatives out there, but I feel like at this point, Google Docs got so good so fast that it's very hard now to switch to something else.
Well, it would have to be so much better, right? That's the thing. It's like Google Docs has its weaknesses. Among them, my personal favorite being it sometimes consumes insane amounts of resources on your computer.
Yeah.
But it is so good and so basically standard, I think, is the big thing. You know, it's the fact that it's used by everybody. Like, you can send somebody a Google Doc and not really have, like, people going like, oh, what is that? It's like Word Docs used to be, right?
Yeah.
Like, and so I think of it like, you know, when I organize my Frisbee teams and I need to make up, like, a spreadsheet for attendance so people can tell me, like, what games they're coming to and what games not. I don't even think twice anymore. That used to be a thing I tried to manage by email, and that was a nightmare. And Google Docs has made it so much easier.
Yeah. It's also, it's funny. You mentioned Office, Office, it's still out there, and there's a web version of Office. There's stuff like Quip, and there's the iCloud stuff that's a part of the, you know, what we think of as the iWork apps. But the one place where Google Docs actually vexes me is on the iPad, because it's really lousy on the iPad. And I don't know, and as an iPad Pro user, it's still not, you know, it's still scaled up for the iPad Pro. And the function, I mean, having used the Office apps on the iPad, and I'm a big fan of those. I think the Microsoft Office apps on the iPad are fantastic, and it really puts the Google Docs stuff, the Google apps, to shame. And so, you know, that frustrates me a lot. And in fact, if I was spending a lot of time working on something on the iPad, I would take it out of Google Docs because it's not good. But that's where all my, you know, we do the Six Colors magazine planning over there. That's where my Incomparable podcast calendar is. That's where the show notes are for Liftoff and Upgrade. And
Clockwise
is a spreadsheet with a million tabs in it, one per episode. I stole that from Twit.
I have a ton of stuff from Inconceivable on the Incomparable Network. I use a big Google Doc for that. So, I mean, yeah, you're right. It's so pervasive. I mean, and it's a shame that the iOS implementation is not better either via the web, you know, using Safari or Chrome on your iPad, or using the native apps, which are honestly not that good. They took the sort of insane approach a couple years ago now of splitting it out into separate apps, which I understand why they did, but there's also still a Drive app, and then
that's
when you try to open something, it goes to the wrong app, and then you try to get to the other app, and somewhere in there, invariably for me, the biggest problem is someone sends me a link, I click to open it, it opens Safari. Safari's like, hey, you should use the native app. I'm like, okay, yeah, open it in the native app, and then it opens the App Store. I'm like, I already have the app.
Yeah.
You won't take me to the app and open this document? I mean, Dropbox does that way better. I don't know. It is weird because Google has made a big deal out of making really solid iOS apps for the most part. Like it wants to be on iOS as a platform, right? And this is one place where it doesn't seem like they've devoted any time.
Well, I mean, I'm sure they're working on it, but I think you're right. The Google Drive thing, which has been updated, I think, for the iPad Pro, but the Google Drive thing is a problem because they seem to have this idea that they're going to be switching around among all these different apps, and Google Drive is going to be kind of like your portal to them. And that is just a mistake that, you know, I should not get kicked to Google Drive. I should be in Google Docs and be able to open from there and see all of my Google Docs. I should probably, you know, be, you know, but instead I keep getting kicked to Google Drive, and it's super frustrating. And, you know, I think I feel this way a little bit about Microsoft's cloud stuff too. The what is it? MyDrive, OneDrive, which I also have. I have so many little cloud drives that you know, I kind of don't want them to be drives, right? I just kind of want a list of my documents that are in your sphere of influence. And if I want to use it as a file system, I can, but I don't want to be forced to try and consider it a file system. That's actually when they went to Google Drive from the old kind of Google Docs as a generic concept implementation, that drive page is so frustrating because it's trying to be a file system. And the old method was just, it would just list all your stuff that was in Google, and you could see all the sheets and the docs and the presentations, and you could get to them. And when they shifted to Drive, I felt like it got worse and not better.
Yeah, and I think that is definitely a problem with it. I mean, so to the point where I spend very little time organizing stuff in Google Drive, because in general, either I'm typing something in an address bar that auto-completes, following a link, or I have some... Oftentimes, I just leave stuff open until it starts sucking up too many resources, or I just search for it, right? Yeah. Like, that's because Google search is good for the most part, so I want to go in and say, oh, I'm looking for the Clockwise document. I know I can go to, like, Google Drive and just type Clockwise. Doesn't matter where it is, right? Like, that's something that's never worked quite as well for me on OS X. Even though Spotlight is decent, it's always been a little more cranky and not as good about finding like a single document I'm looking for, or I just don't think about like what that document is called. So it is that model, that sort of app-centric model that you're talking about, I think, which is we've gotten very used to on iOS, is you open an app and it shows you everything, all your files, you know, related in that app sphere of influence. And that is very, not exactly contrary, but it's a different model than we were used to on the Mac. I think for many years, where you had your file system and then, you know, you opened a document and it opened the correct application, right? It's almost sort of an inverse relationship there.
Yeah, and I get everybody wants to be your cloud drive. And so I've got Dropbox and OneDrive and Google Drive and iCloud Drive, you know, and that's great. I mean, and I write about this stuff, so I should probably, well, I have picked one, right? But I keep all of them around, but I use Dropbox. Dropbox is what I use. For most of this stuff, and I know some people use Box and love it, and then other people use OneDrive or Google Drive or iCloud Drive, and that's fine too. But they're all kind of differently accessed. I didn't mean for us to get down this Google Docs hole, but it is an interesting thing that comes up, is we do actually rely on it, and Google did a great job of sucking people into using it instead of using especially Microsoft stuff. I mean, I will, if I'm just doing a really quick spreadsheet, a lot of times I'll do it in Google Sheets and not in Numbers or Excel, even though I have both of them.
Well, it shows something about how good a product, you know, can be to just sort of take over that niche in your life and to dominate a market, right? Because there are certainly other options, as you've suggested, for dealing with something. And specifically, I think the big thing with Google Docs is collaboration. And, you know, Apple's iWork stuff really has not had the best success with that in the past. I think it's improved over time, but it was never very good in the past at real-time collaboration. And everything else was kind of a one-off. So having something that's sort of a universal, really broadly supported paradigm for that made a big... And it's free, which is... Let's not kid ourselves, a big part of it, makes a huge difference. So dethroning that is going to be very tricky, because even though we might share files using Dropbox a lot of the time, we're generally not going to collaborate on something using Dropbox because it just isn't designed for that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny. It's everything's sort of in flux. But you're right. I mean, Google Docs is sort of the default now for a lot of the collaboration that happens, and it's fine. It's fine. I just wish it was better on the iPad. Hey, I wanted to ask you about. I want to do this almost like a little segment on this podcast that is not segmented in any way, which is it's the Amazon Echo check-in. You wrote another piece on Six Colors about adding Spotify to your Amazon. Or at least you have the ability to do it, but you don't want to pay for Spotify, right? So you're just using Amazon Music? Is that the
what I read? I'm still at a point where I haven't really decided to fork over money for any music streaming service. And part of that is because I just don't get enough use out of it. I tend to buy albums still when I want them, or I tend to occasionally, when the mood hits me, it's like, oh, I want to listen to other works by this artist. I'll just open up Spotify, and I'll just say, like, oh, I just want to listen to this artist for a while, and if I come across songs I really like, I'll generally buy them. And so at this point, I don't buy enough music for it to be a good trade-off for me. If I was buying an album a month, then it would absolutely make sense, but it, you know, not consuming that much music, or at least new music, doesn't really add up for me. And I've always been a little bit where you were talking the other day, I think, about the sort of having stuff that's you have added to your library via Apple Music, but that's not really yours. Was that on Upgrade? I thought you and Mike would have been talking about that. And so, you know, I was always a little bit wary of that because of the whole, you know, Steve Jobs is famous. People want to own their music, not rent it. And I, you know, I tried it out for a while during the 3-month trial, and it was fine, but it just, at the end of the day, I canceled it and just, I thought, you know, hey, if it turns out like a month down the line, it's like, oh, you know what? I really miss it. Having access to Apple Music, then I will go back to it. But nothing has dragged me back to it for the moment. So the idea that Spotify integrates with the Echo is a great addition. I don't think we'll ever see that with Apple Music.
Unfortunately.
But, yeah, and so you need to have a premium account. And at the moment, I'm still not convinced that's something I want. Although every once in a while, I do try. The other limitation on having the free Spotify account is if you use the iOS app, you're kind of limited in what you can play back. As opposed to the Mac app lets you sort of just play anything back. But oftentimes on the iOS app, I think you search for a tune and it's like, all right, you can play that. But then it's like random play on a lot of things. So it's more like a Pandora or like a radio station type thing. Maybe at some point that'll convince me over. But I listen to so much of my, you know, existing iTunes library that it just doesn't make sense for me.
Yeah, I am using Apple Music and I like it. And so I will probably keep using it. Although sometimes I think, since my daughter really loves Spotify, sometimes I think I should just go use Spotify instead, because mm-hmm. she could take advantage of that because she's just using the free tier. I have a couple of Sonos speakers that I'm trying mm-hmm. out,
yep.
and they integrate with Apple Music. And so that's great. Right. I mean, that makes a big difference. And that's actually one of the reasons I'm trying them out, is that my old digital music boxes will never support, you know, more than I think maybe Spotify. They don't support Rhapsody anymore.
Right.
They will never support Apple Music. So it's been a lot of fun because I can just try stuff out, and they have a lot of great playlists. It's great for music discovery. And I always had a problem with music discovery when the music discovery was you could try an album, right? But the playlist,
right.
Apple has these, and it comes from back when it was Beats. They've got editors in, or curators, whatever you want to call them, in all these different genres, and they're building playlists, and they're not just building themed playlists like, you know, here's how indie rock was influenced by David Bowie, right? There's a playlist with 40 songs on it that is indie rock influenced by David Bowie that the indie rock editor did. But they also have these things called the A-list playlists, which are basically like a top 40 radio station for a genre. And I think they all have 50 tracks on them, and the tracks cycle in and out week by week as new songs kind of come in and other songs fall off. And I found some great music listening to that. And what's different about it is I'm not listening to an album by an artist. I'm listening to a handpicked playlist like a radio station,
right,
but it's
right.
totally focused on the genre. And if there are songs that I like, I can then listen to the album. I can add those songs to a kind of a best of playlist, which I totally do. And I can skip past the ones that I don't like. And I've really loved that. The alternative A-list playlist for me is like my radio station at this point. And then they did the best of 2015, and I can go back and listen to the best of 2014 and find music that I like there. And that is the thing that has really made me love my music subscription thing. And I was always resistant of it. And I still don't love the idea that I'm paying every month. And I really don't love the idea that if I cancel, all the new music I found in the last 8 months will vanish. I don't like that. At the same time, I have been consuming a lot more new music than I would have if I had to buy it. So
yeah, and that's the thing that really sort of gets me the most interested. For example, I was building I built a playlist for stuff that, you know, is sort of thematically related to a book I'm working on. And, you know, after listening to that playlist, which is not super long, you know, half a dozen times, it's like, you know, I want more stuff that fits within this. And I find that's, especially as a non-Apple Music subscriber now, that's really hard to do. Like I just want the option at times to be like, oh, play more stuff that fits. Like, look at these, it's like 12 songs I've put on this playlist. Tell me what other songs would go really well with them that I'll like. And in the past, you know, Apple's had their Genius recommendations to sort of play around with that, which I don't even know. Are those still around? They seem like they've at least been buried in the iOS version of the app.
Oh, I don't know, because I haven't used them. Now that I have Apple Music, I kind of have gotten... Genius... Although
it always was kind of mixed.
I should look, because what I really want is Genius based on all music that exists, right? I want it, and yeah, I think Genius was about music in your playlist, and I'm not sure it will extend to Apple Music in that way, and I wish it would, right? I wish I could pick any song and say, play me a bunch of songs like this in the Apple Music catalog. I'm not sure it does
I think you can do that. There are, like, stations and stuff. I thought you could do that with Apple Music.
Well, stations isn't quite the same, though,
not
is it?
Not quite the same. You're right. But there are, I think there are options, at least I'm looking at iTunes now, but of course I don't have Apple Music.
Well, so I have Apple Music, so I can look at that. So if I take, let's say I take Imogen Heap and I take her, let's see, big, what was her, big hit, Hide and Seek. And I start to play it. Can I do... Hey, everybody, you're just listening to Jason and Dan click around in iTunes, which I went on a rant yesterday about iTunes. I should probably do it. So now I can start Station. I can start Genius. I have Genius suggestions.
But the Genius suggestions for me are all stuff from my library.
Totally. So yeah. If I start Genius, what am I going to get?
You're probably going to get stuff from your library.
It is entirely stuff from my library, yeah.
Okay.
So if I start Station...
What does that do? Does it just play other things by that artist?
I think that's going to lead me to like that iTunes radio idea where I'm now streaming. Let's see what we've got. I get a spinning thing. let's see.
They have been having streaming problems this morning. So, oh, because you can also start and you can also do new station from song or new station from artist.
iTunes has two radio
contextual menu too.
But this is and then I'm in iTunes radio, which is this weird thing where I'm now listening to a station which is kind of like Pandora, and that's not what I want. I want Genius. Anyway, I mean we're down in the weeds now, but this is an example of things where Apple's got this whole collection of stuff just in their music offering that's kind of not connected and problematic. And I think they're weeding it, right? The fact that they said, okay, the iTunes music stuff is gonna go away unless you're a member of Apple Music and the radio stuff, right? I feel like they're maybe doing that now where they're trying to pare back this stuff and get their offerings in line with the existence of Apple Music. But there's still a bunch of places where you come into stuff like this, which is now, wait a second. If Genius is supposed to be able to compare my track to all the other tracks that it knows and pick ones out from my library that are like it, why couldn't they pick it from the entire Apple Music library?
Right, right.
But they just can't.
And it's funny because, you know, the fact that I'm sitting here, I was thinking the other day that this would make a good subject for a post. And then I had that moment of like, oh, wait, is that a thing that's actually possible already? Or should I go? I need to go look into that first. So I'm glad to hear it's not possible so that I can write something about how it should be possible.
Nothing like a complication that was. So let me tell you my story about iTunes yesterday. I ranted on this on Twitter a little bit about it. And I mentioned it in a post about Walt Mossberg wrote a piece at The Verge about Apple's declining software quality just a year after Mark Arment wrote the same thing. At Marco.org, and everybody freaked out. Well, Walt did it a year later, so I guess
CNBC hasn't reported on it yet. Huh?
I guess perception hasn't changed much in the last year in that regard. That Apple's got some work to do on software quality, and it's funny. I was reading about this while I was listening to a shuffle. I went to my music library and I picked an artist and I picked a couple of albums and I shuffled those albums. So it's playing a shuffle inside those albums, and I'm reading some stories and I get sent an email from somebody saying, hey, here's an app that you might like that. It's a free app that is relevant to your interests in some way. I don't even remember what the app is now. And I click the link. It's an app store link. So it opens it's an iOS app. So it opens in iTunes. It goes to the apps tab in iTunes. My music continues to play. And there's a get button there. It's a free app. And I decide to get it, even though I don't sync my iOS devices, because on some of my devices, they automatically download new purchases. So it'll just auto download on my iPad or whatever. And it also serves as almost like a wish list for me that once it's in the purchased, I can just go the next time I'm on my iPhone, I'll look at purchased and I'll just download it from there. And I don't have to remember the name of this app and search for it. So that's my rationale. So I click the button and it says your iTunes balance has changed since the last time that you paid on this computer. Click OK to reload. Okay, I've got a few issues here. One is, I just turned on this computer today and I haven't made any iTunes purchases. I do have iTunes credit, and I guess it's thinking that it cached my iTunes credit from a long time ago and hasn't checked since, which it probably should do. Mm-hmm. And if it needs to do that, it probably should do that, if not earlier, then maybe at that moment. And also, by the way, I'm getting something that's free, and it doesn't matter what my iTunes balance is. So I click OK, and nothing happens. And the button, the buy button, the get button is now grayed out. So what do I do? There's like literally nothing I can do. I actually hit Command R to reload as if it were a web page, because I know as a tech person that iTunes is and the App Store are really just a series that, well, not iTunes, the App Store in particular and the iTunes Store are actually basically web pages. They're right. They're not native computer interfaces. They are, it's a bunch of XML. It's very HTML-like and they're rendered almost like a browser inside iTunes. So I do that and it totally works. The page reloads and now I can click that button. And when I click that button, the app downloads. Okay, great. So I've done that. And but here's the other thing. While that's all going on, my song that I was shuffling out of those two albums finishes. And the next song that comes up is something totally random from inside my 20,000 song playlist or library. Because the act of going to the App Store has destroyed my shuffle. Now, why the act of going to the App Store should ruin my place in a music shuffle is completely beyond me. But this is also the problem when you lump all these different features inside one app. So it should work.
You don't shuffle your apps?
Oh, man. It should work and... It's the thing, and Mossberg talked about this. It's like you get petrified. You are afraid to use iTunes. And I use iTunes every day to play music, but it makes me afraid to use iTunes for anything else while I'm playing music. Because I assume that whatever music selection I've got is going to get invalidated for no reason, where I haven't told it to play anything else. I haven't told it to change its behavior in any way, but it will just stop playing what I want to play and start playing something else. Even though I haven't asked it to, it's just so bad. So,
I agree with you. I do use it for other stuff. I've never been a huge playlist builder, but like I hate the interface. I hate the fact that they've made stuff like I was commenting to you while we were talking about the whole Genius thing. It's hilarious to me that so if you hover over any track in your iTunes library, a little icon shows up, a little three dots icon to the right of the track name. And if you click on that, it gives you a contextual menu that looks kind of like a popover. But if you control click slash right click, you get like an actual OS X contextual menu, which has some of the same things as well as other options. And it's like, that's just crazy sauce. Like, what made you think that was a good idea? Right click on that or click on that track. Well, right click, single click that button. What do you want me to do? You know, it's a trash fire, I agree with what Mossberg wrote on that. Also on Mail, which I am still a Mail user just because of it's sort of low friction, but sure. Mail as an app is not great. No. And it strikes me as one of those things, you know, Mail gets a decent amount of attention from Apple. I feel like on both iOS and OS X, it usually gets something, but I always feel like the stuff they add in there is like, no, that's not what I want. Just make it work better. Don't give me all these flashy new features when the, you know, basic sending of messages and stuff is oftentimes very wonky. And on iTunes, especially, iTunes is certainly the poster child for we don't know what to do with a function. Let's just put it in iTunes. And it's been that way for years and it just really hasn't gotten any better.
No.
I just don't know where else. I mean,
for a long time, I dreamed that they would just make a music app. But having seen the music app on iOS, I'm not sure that's any better.
Good. No, I agree with that. Especially once if you're not an Apple Music user. So, yeah, you know, I was complaining about the fact on when I wrote about them taking out iTunes Radio. There's still a radio tab because, of course, there's still Beats 1. But it's like, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't listen to Beats 1. Ever.
Yeah.
So now I have a My Music and then there's playlists, which is like, well, aren't technically playlists My Music? And then there's the whole separate, I think we talked about this at some point back when iOS, whenever they redid the music app, iOS 9, there's that little drop down that's like the thing where you tap on like songs or albums to show you the other things that aren't songs or albums. Like if it says songs, it's like, oh, to switch to albums, tap songs. And it's like, that makes no sense. So yeah, it's It's not a good app. I'm super frustrated by a bunch of stuff in there. I actually really like the fact that it gives me a recently added section. I'm totally cool with that. It's like, oh yeah, I would love to know what music I recently added. But it shows you three things, and in order to actually see the rest of the stuff you've recently added, you have to tap that little recently added header, which is tiny. And I miss it all the time. It's like, I'm just trying to tap this little button. When you search, it only shows you three results for it's just bad. And you know, for something that was so central, like, I'd almost be better off going back to an iPod for my music if it didn't feel stupid.
Yeah. Well, that's, we had a bunch of people ask, and it came up on Upgrade, in fact, about, you know, why am I using a Sonos and why not just like a Bluetooth speaker or an AirPort speaker? And I don't want to offend anybody, but for me, I don't think they're good enough. I don't think AirPlay speakers
are terrible.
Are good enough. And Bluetooth, the same way, it's like, I have to keep my phone nearby, and I find I still have to deal with Bluetooth audio artifacts where there's stuttering and stuff mm-hmm. like that, and you have to make sure that it's paired properly, and sometimes it loses that, and you've got to connect them again.
I've said in the past, the Echo is the best Bluetooth mm-hmm. speaker I've used, and not because it has the best sound quality, because it doesn't, but because of the fact that I can tell it to connect or disconnect using my voice.
That's good.
And it actually works because I have like a nice little tiny Bluetooth speaker, which is fine sound-wise, but fiddling with that, especially when you like, oh, I want to pair my iPad and it's currently connected to my iPhone. Well, I have to just turn Bluetooth off on my iPhone or otherwise mm-hmm. remove the device entirely. It's like, why is this a thing? This is really bad.
It's super frustrating. And I was going to mention, you know, you talked about your voice. That's actually the thing that I find using the Sonos stuff that I really wish it did. Is that kills me, that the Sonos stuff, I have no doubt, sounds way better than your Amazon Echo. And of course, it does Apple Music, which I have. So that's a big win. But I want to talk to it, right? And it's not, there's no Siri conduit. There's no, you know, there's no way for me to control it from an Apple device other than by launching the Sonos app. And I believe maybe even some of the Sonos hardware may even have microphones now, but they don't do anything with them, at least not yet. But that seems like such an obvious thing now, that if you're going to have these connected speakers, especially the Sonos stuff, the old Logitech Squeezebox stuff that I had a bunch of buttons on it. Like, you could preset buttons for playlists or internet radio streams, or they had little displays so you could kind of flip around and pick an album or a playlist and all that. Sonos, it's got three buttons on it, sort of like volume up and down and a play pause button. That's all there is, right? But I have those moments where I think I want to do more, and I don't want to go. I was cooking last night, and it's like, I don't want to go wake up my hand's wet. It's not going to, you know, touch ID. I'm going to have to wipe the hand off and then get it to unlock and then go to the Sonos app. And then I'm going to tap around a little bit and I'm going to find my thing. When I've seen your Amazon Echo in action, it's like, that's pretty awesome. And you know, another funny thing is I discovered that because of connectivity stuff, I believe I can control a Sonos from the Amazon Echo, that seems wrong, but I think maybe you can do that. So I don't know. It's crazy. I wish, you know, because that's the right thing to do. I think what Echo does, where it's got access to cloud music and it takes voice command, is where this stuff needs to go. And it's just a shame that, like, Apple doesn't make anything that does this.
Nope.
Apple Music works with Sonos, but Sonos doesn't do it. Apple hasn't yet connected Siri to things like Sonos, which would be a big win.
Or even AirPlay. Like, hey, Siri, play this. Sorry, I just triggered that for everybody. I apologize. You know, ahoy, telephone, play this on my AirPlay speaker. You know, something like that seems like it. Or play this on, you know, you can name your Apple TV or whatever.
Yeah.
So if I said play this on my Apple TV or name my Apple TV, you know, that would be great. But, you know.
Yeah, you can do that with a Siri remote on the new Apple TV.
Yes.
With some questionable efficiency.
Talk about
that's if you've got that Apple TV. And
I've complained about AirPlay before, where it's just the I bought a $50 AirPlay speaker, which was not from a decently reputable brand, but it was terrible, and it's now unplugged and sitting on my floor because it never worked. And when I mentioned that at some point, I didn't even mention what speaker it was, but I think over on the Rebound I was like, oh yeah, I have this terrible AirPlay speaker, I bought $50. I got so many replies like, oh, it's this one, isn't it? Yep, it was totally right. So apparently that one was infamous, but I haven't had super, you know, better luck with any other AirPlay setup I've used, and I haven't really heard people say, I really haven't anybody come out and be like, oh yeah, there's this great AirPlay speaker. It seems like it was something they designed and threw out there, and it's like, oh, this is cool, and it is cool, it just doesn't work very well.
Yeah, well, I guess we'll you know, this will continue to progress, and we will continue to play around with this stuff and hopefully find out better ways to use this stuff over time. I would hate to end up being in a situation where I'm using the Amazon Echo to play music through some other speakers. Like, why would
I've done this.
It's Alexa, tell Siri to tell Sonos to play my music. It's
like, I've basically done that, where I've, you know, used my Alexa, told it to connect to my phone, and then used Siri to play back music through the Echo. And it's like, oh, how many robots do you need? It's robots all the way down, Jason.
All the way down. So we should say, before we go, the Six Colors magazine is coming up, and there are segments in there that basically you should tell us. You should email. You can do, I think it's subscriber at sixcolors.com. Just do jsnell@sixcolors.com or jason@sixcolors.com. And here's what I want to hear from you. If you have questions for me or Dan that you'd like us to answer, that would be great. Just send them and we will do our best. Although, you know, you can also tweet at us and we usually answer them there too. But we can put some in the magazine, and then they're secret and they're only for subscribers, and that's awesome. And the other thing is, we have this by request thing that we try to do in every issue, where we tackle a topic because you suggested it. And we would love to hear your suggestions. So send those along too. So, you know, jason@sixcolors.com, dan@sixcolors.com.
That works.
You could send it to both of us, whatever. But, you know, one of the things that we want to do with the Six Colors magazine is have some of it be directed by you, the subscribers. So let us know what you want to see in the February issue of the magazine. That's it.
Yeah. Thanks.
All right, Dan. We'll be back. Hopefully, we'll all be where we are now and can do this next week. And I won't forget, because I'm in the desert having all the moisture sucked out of my body by that desert.
That was the worst version of Dune so far.
Yeah, it's like a vampire, the desert. But it doesn't drink your blood. It just drinks your water.
It's a water vampire. It's a water vampire. I like to call them, like, normal people.
Yeah, I suppose that's true. Fair point. All right. Well, thanks to everybody out there for being a subscriber to Six Colors and for listening to this ridiculous podcast that we did, where we complained a lot. We're going to have to get our hitch in our step and a little more sunshine and rainbows for next time. Bye, everybody.
That was good. Bye.